Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by Lincoln Mercury.
Phil Minicky for Dave Plyer at 720 WGN. I love that. It's 11:47. Joining us from Ireland, he's authored 15 books, was a radio and television presenter for decades. He's covered five Olympic Games, starting with Munich in 1972. It's Mr. Liam Nolan. Liam, thank you for joining us.
It's a great pleasure, Phil. And hearing you saying 1972 there, it was like something in the mind. Somebody had pressed a fast forward, and soapbox came back from the fast forward. And I think one of the people that I met there at that particular Olympics, I mean, that was the one that was disfigured by the terrorist attack on the Olympic Village. I'm sure you remember reading about it, if you can't actually remember back to it.
What was that like?
Well, the terrible thing about that Olympics, and that the dreadful thing about it, was the fact that 11 Israeli athletes died in it. And in a sense, the thing almost came to a full stop. But if Lord Kilmainham, an Irishman who happened at that time to be president of the International Olympic Committee, himself and the rest of the directors decided that the best thing actually was to go ahead with it. That caused shock, naturally enough, and there were people who were against the idea of the Games carrying on in the face of the tragedy. But of course, the other side, the balancing consideration was that if they stopped, that would have been giving in to terrorists.
Got it. What were your thoughts on that?
I was very sobered by it. I was frightened at one stage, actually, when I was there as a commentator, as you probably know, and a radio commentator, and I was asked if I would go out once the terrorists had actually broken into the village and had gone into the Israeli part of it. And I was asked if I could go out onto an embankment looking across at the village, and fairly close to where the terrorists were actually out on the balconies as lookouts. And I was carrying a stick mic with me. And it occurred to me as I went belly forth up the embankment that holding a stick mic looked at from 25 yards away as if it would have been the barrel of a gun.
Oh,
and that made me very, it brought me very close to destroying my underclothes. I don't mind that. One great memory that I have of those particular Games was meeting an American icon.
You're referring to Mr. Howard Cosell.
The icon was a Howard Cosell. And the way I met him was, at that particular time, the Games, by the way, there was a lovely, lovely man who was the presenter of Wide World of Sport on ABC television in America. And he was there, and he eventually ended up as the host of the Games. And that was Jim McKay, whose real name was McManus, an athletic gentleman and a very, very talented broadcaster. But I was there as a boxing commentator. And I was commentating for the BBC. And our commentary booth was in the boxing hall. And if you wanted to talk to a boxer once he had been involved in the competition, you went down to what was known as the international area. And they didn't normally come out immediately because they would go and have a shower or whatever. So I was looking at a competition between an American boxer, Ray Seals, a light welterweight, who was tall for a lifeboat, but he was over 6 feet tall. And a very gentle and lovable man he was, and he stayed that way for the rest of his life, as far as I know. But he was boxing in the second round of the competition. Not the second round of a bout, but the second round of the competition. And it so happened that the boxer he beat, for him to go on to the next round, was an Irish lad from Belfast. His name was, most of us would call it Montague, but for some reason or other, he was known in Ireland as Jim Montague. And when Seals got the decision over him, the producer into my hands said, you know, I think, Liam, it would be a great idea to get an interview with Jim Montague if you can. It will have a big appeal, quite clearly, in Northern Ireland. It will appeal to listeners in England and Scotland and Wales, and presumably in the Republic of Ireland as well. So if you nip down and try and get him when he comes out, and we will cover here, he said, by crossing over to the show jumping arena. So I went off down anyway, and I got first place in the queue right at the exit from the boxing arena itself. And about 15 minutes later, this tall, ugly, hunched figure in an appalling yellow blazer pushed its way to the head of the now small queue behind me and pushed me aside. Excuse me, I said to him, I was here first, and I've been waiting for the last quarter of an hour. And in a high staccato voice with strong Brooklyn twang to it, and by the way, I don't really do accents, he said to me, this is for television. Now, out of my way. And he tried to push me aside. So I pushed him back, and I said, no, you get out of my way. And he said, this is for ABC television. ABC television from the United States of America. And I said, I don't give a goddamn if you're from XYZ television from out of Mongolia. He said, do you know who I am? I said, sadly, I have that misfortune. I said, your name is Howard Cohen, but you changed it to Cosell for some reason. You wear a toupee, and I can see the joint from where I am. And I said, you're a professional loudmouth and a pain in the ass. And Dick Young, and New York News calls you Howie the Fraud. Well, I thought that he was going to have a cardiac arrest. He pulled himself together and he said, listen here, young man. I said, don't call me young man. I'm an author and a journalist, an editor and a broadcaster. And he said, my audience is a voluminous one that extends right across the United States of America. Now, who do you broadcast for? I said, I happen to work for the biggest and the most prestigious broadcasting organization in the world. And its audience extends right across the world. And where ABC's audience probably amounts to a few tens of millions, the BBC's audience at the Olympic Games like this is over 600 million. Now, next question. He said, you seem to know quite a bit about me. Now, how has that eventuality arisen? There you go again, I said. Always trying to use the $15 or $20 words, the polysyllabic words. The reason I know quite a bit about you, Mr. Cohen Cosell, is because I'm what you are not. I'm a professional. By the way, I'm not as stupid as you look. Well, he nearly swallowed his cigar when I said this. And then he said, you are the very soul of egregious impertinence. I'll keep on talking. I said, someday you'll say something intelligent. Now, get out of my place in the queue, I said. BBC may have bought the American TV rights to the games. $7.5 million, I understand that you paid for them. But you seem to be deluding yourself into thinking that they bought the entire Olympic Games. Well, they didn't buy the entire Olympic Games. You can get back there now and stand with your cameraman, your sound man, your assistant producer, and whoever else is there waiting. And if one of you tries to push me slightly out of the way, I can guarantee you that there is somebody with me or up in the booth with me that will destroy you. Now, what do you mean, and who are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about a British boxer who actually downed Muhammad Ali when he was still Cassius Clay, hit him with the left hook and almost stopped his career for him. And I said, you put a finger near me and tried to push me back, and he would tear not only the tooth hair off your head, but probably the head off your shoulders. He coughed and stressed it, dropped his cigar, bent to pick it up, nearly fell over, and the toupee went sideways. And that was shot. Somebody came back from the crew, and they said, they actually called in Mr. Cosell, and they said, look, we can wait for Mr. Seals. And I said, yeah, you wait for Mr. Seals, and I hope that he is better mannered than you are. And one of these days, I said, perhaps you would become not the most disliked commentator or sports personality on American television. You may get somebody who will have some sort of affection, which I presume your mother had for you. Now, I said, I wish you a very good night, as my brother-in-law would say, may you go with you, and now may you travel abroad and procreate. And that was the end. He moved back. He knew what I was getting at, and he came as near as he ever could come to an apology. He was a quite extraordinary character.
What a great story.
Well, you know, I mean, the man is dead now a long time, but he went through his life suffering from a particular disease, and that was diarrhea of the mouth. you know, any real similarity between Howard and a proper commentator or a proper journalist, and there was a hated journalist who was detested by them, but any similarity between him and them was absolutely coincidental. And the difference between him and Jim McKay, and by the way, he was very, very insulting towards McKay behind McKay's back. He used to refer to him as the diminutive one, which was an awful insult to a man who was a gentleman to his fingertips. But the way he talked, the way he would break up syllables, the way he would use a word that, like antidote, and call it antidote, or say, I'm a terribly, terribly, terribly bright man. And of course, the extraordinary admission that he made when he stood in front of the microphone on one occasion, and he said, I've been called arrogant, pompous, obnoxious, vain, cruel, verbose, a show-off. And there's no question that I'm all of those things, to which I wanted to stand up and say, well said, Howard, you've spoken the truth at last. You know, the old memory box, when it works, brings back things that nobody can take on you, and they are your memories. Whatever happens with coronavirus and all of the other ills in the world, our memories are precious to us, and I'm sure you have a store of your own that nobody would be able to get at. So I would say thank you for having me, and I hope the rest of the show is very enjoyable for you, and of course, the most important ones of all, the listeners.